Good afternoon. Welcome to Embracing the Chase, brought to you by InfinitelyHome.com, the website for first-time affordable home buyers. Also, Building Fortunes Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Embracing the Chase is a radio show presenting a unique personal improvement thought, which will make your life better and your business grow. You know, today we're going to talk about something that's uncomfortable for a lot of people, and that's fear. We all experience fear, but if we can look at it deeply into our fear, we will be able to free ourselves from its grip and touch joy. And that is the Confucius saying. Additionally, everything you want is on the other side of fear. And that's what we have to look at right now. Fear is a legitimate emotion. It's experienced by all humans, and it acts as a motivation to keep us from physical harm and possibly death. And in most general terms, it implies anxiety and loss of courage. But fear can become a crutch for emotional weakness. And as with all crutches, we shall fall slave if we use it unless we more condition ourselves to our strengths. You know, we have fears about a lot of things. We have fears about success. There are a lot of people who are afraid to be successful. We have fear of failure. I have a fear of failure. I always do. Everyone does when you're talking about dealing with people. You have a fear of losing face. You have a fear of public speaking. You have a fear of aging. You have a fear of losing or handling money. You have a fear of rejection. Fears bombard us all the time. Everyone knows fear. And it can appear in an instant and throw us into chaos. It can also save our lives. Fear is a natural response to physical change, but it can also be self-created, such as fear of failure, fear of being out of control, fear of being different, or fear of being lonely. There is a fear of the future and of death. And one may fear love because they fear being rejected. And one may feel being generous because they fear you will not have enough. And one may fear sharing his or her thoughts or feelings in case they're wrong. Fear robs us of everything positive in our life. So, fear, in most general terms, implies a lack of courage. It denotes a reluctance to face a situation or an uncertainty. It is an emotion that is unpleasant in nature. In our life journey, we face many uncertainties, and fear keeps us in a cocoon, keeping us stagnant and restricted. We become content to stay in our comfort zone. One of the real culprits of fear is the unknown. One is usually fearful of something that has not yet happened, and fear will keep you stuck and unable to move forward. In and of itself, fear is not a negative. Fear breeds caution, yet it impedes our progress in life and hinders our personal freedoms. And as long as you push away, deny, or ignore fear, it will hold you captive and keep you emotionally frozen, unable to move forward. In that place, you become untrusting of love and spontaneity. You get angry or hide. But where fear contracts and closes the heart, resisting love, love expands and opens the heart, embracing fear. Fear is usually right up in our face, you know? Unless we push it away, walk through it, or resist it, it will take over. Fear can immobilize us and freeze us in one spot. Unless we choose freedom, we will always be stuck in the world of fear. Fear must be replaced with valor. Valor is another word for courage. We are afraid of things that are outside of ourselves, things that we can't control. We worry about having to let go of all the things we care about. We even worry about our loved ones. It is only when we have the power to look deeply at our fears that fear cannot control us. The antidote for fear is courage. All of us experience setbacks at some point in our life's journey. It takes courage to keep fighting when it seems that all is lost or when you are in the grip of fear. It takes courage to push through your fear and test your limits. When one exhibits courage, they choke fear. It takes courage to look fear in the face and move forward. Fear is probably the most difficult emotion to overcome. And it's because it has so many different meanings. As it talks about, and we discussed just now, there are many things that fear brings us. But one of the things that we need to understand is that fear is our forward warning station. Fear is the thing that puts into our minds what might go wrong to prepare us in case it does. And if you look at it from that image or perspective, then maybe you're able to accept it a little easier. Years ago, I had a brother who died at 10 years old. And I was 17. And it was a very difficult time in my life. And for the next 6 months, I could hardly sleep at night. I was fearful of closing my eyes. I was fearful of dealing with my parents. I was fearful of just about everything. And one day, I went out to where I was a lifeguard, and this little baby required that I go into the water and get her out before she drowned, and I gave her artificial respiration, and that baby was okay. And that showed me that even though I was afraid, when I jumped off the lifeguard stand, I was afraid that that baby might die. And that fear gave me the courage to jump into the water and pull that little baby out. And it showed me that fear is not always a bad thing. Fear is a cautionary tale. And we have to look at it accordingly. But at the end of the day, fear can be a benefactor if we allow it to be. And it is to me today. There are many times when I think about an action that I'm going to take and fear rises up in me and says, you don't need to do this because these are the things that can happen. Years ago, when I married my wife, I decided that I wasn't good at money, as evidence that I had none. And so I figured somebody better than me needed to take over the money. And that was fear. Fear that that person would prevent me from making mistakes. And the only time that it didn't was when I overrode that caution and took finances on myself. So, we need to learn from the lessons that we have every day. And that makes things better in the long run. And fear can make things better. We're going to pause right now for a short 45-second break. and a word from our sponsor, and we'll see you in a little bit.
Do you want to learn more about affordable home ownership and what Ed Robinson with the National Affordable Home Ownership Coalition nonprofit has going on in the Sarasota, Bradenton, Florida area? Well, go to infinitelyhomes.com and read all about it. Don't forget to go to the events page for upcoming seminars in the area, and the newsletter can be found on the Home Sweet Home page. See you on the website, which once again is www.infinitelyhome.com.
Nelson Mandela was a South African leader, and he was imprisoned for a number of years in his life. I actually don't remember how many years, but there are several quotes that he wrote when writing his book. And one of the things he talked about was fear versus courage. And he wrote that he learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not the one who does not feel afraid. He's the one who conquers that fear. You know, courage is not limited to the battlefields or the Indianapolis 500 or bravely catching a thief in your house. The real tests of courage are much quieter. They are the inner tests, like remaining faithful when no one's looking, like enduring pain when the room is empty, like standing alone when you're misunderstood. Courage is defined by Webster as the ability to do something that you know is difficult or dangerous. Our state of mind enables us to be resolute and to be possessed with confidence. We can be afraid and be willing to act anyway. We just don't let fear take over. That, my friend, is showing courage. Tell you a story. Irene was a self-described introvert, and whenever she was asked to interact with large groups or speak publicly, she usually found a way to decline the invitation, even though she was more than amply qualified to do what she was being asked to do. She carried her secret of fear that what she had to say was not good enough, or that she herself was not good enough. She dreaded the thought of losing face, so she wore fear like a shield of armor. However, in spite of that fear and reluctance to do many things, she was able to move through the ranks of her profession. She began her career as an elementary school teacher. She did not experience fear when she was teaching her students, but outside of her classroom, she wore her fear cloak and retreated when possible. She actually stated to a colleague that she only wanted the principals she served under to just know her by name. This was because she would not be asked to chair committees or make public speeches. After 10 years of classroom teaching, Irene attended graduate school and became a school counselor. This position suited her well because most of her encounters, whether students or adults, were with individuals or small groups. She nurtured others and was successful in this role. About 8 years later, she was invited to be principal in the same school. Now, this was a big test for Irene, and she was very fearful. Secretly, Irene felt that she could be a great principal if she gave up being so afraid and took a risk. The school enrollment was about 450 students, and she really did not want to take this position. Her audience would be much larger. She could not avoid speaking to large crowds, but after much persuasion and prayer and promises of support by family and friends, Irene took a giant step to move forward in her career. She accepted the position, but was afraid and apprehensive. This was the most dreadful period in her career. However, she was able to interact with parents, make speeches to the PTA, and state her position on the governing board, and appear on the radio and television. But it was always with fear and trembling. She experienced many sleepless nights when a speech or public assignment was due, and many times she experienced thoughts that she could have said this after the fact. Fear continued to plague her throughout her career. The crowning fear event, however, even more than bringing a principal, was that Irene was confronted with an invitation to speak to her high school classmates at their 40th class reunion. She immediately said no and declined the invitation. However, the class organizer did not really accept her declination and said she would call her back in 3 weeks and hoped that by that time she would reconsider because she was the committee's first choice. This event took place during a time that Irene had hired a life coach who was already supporting her in completing her major project. She mentioned to the coach that she was invited to be a keynote speaker at her alma mater and how she had turned it down flat. Through powerful questioning, supportive actions, and affirmations, and a unveiling of limited beliefs, Irene was able to take forward steps. She gained confidence, courage, and freedom through the process. She had a chance, a change of heart. And when the organizer called back, Irene said yes. This was the most fundamental yes at that time in her life, and it shifted her perspective from fear to courage. The gift of courage is a shift in perspective to a client who is struggling with fear. Using it as a tool, the coach presents a powerful antidote to inspire others to take risks and move out from the paralyzing fear. It will help the client to be brave, to stand in his or her own strength. The coach can enable the client to shift their limiting beliefs and fulfill their purpose by engaging in the following behaviors. You advance a client's self-awareness through esteem and exercises and activities. You assist them in setting small, reachable, smart goals, and then change them to bold, courageous ones. Celebrate and affirm the client's success, develop a client or support system that works, and inspire clients to walk their life journey with confidence. Not only did Irene do very well at the alumni event, but she has also had invitations for other speaking engagements, which she has accepted without extreme fear. She knows the message she delivers is more powerful than the fear that threatens it. Fear is no longer in the driver's seat, nor the controlling emotion. Interesting story, don't you think? Reminds me of the movie The Hoosiers, and I don't know if you've seen that or not, but at one point in the movie, the worst player on the team is put in a position where they have an opportunity to win the game. And as the other coach calls timeout to stress out the person, the existing coach looks at him and says, "And after you make this free throw," and he says, "You are going to make this free throw." The kid goes back and makes the free throw, and they win the game. And that's what he does. You reinforce it. You have to speak in terms of affirming what you do. So what I want you to look at with yourself is look at your fears. What small steps can you take to confront the fear? What positive actions can happen from you wearing your courageous hat? What if you had unlimited resources and knew you could not fail? What actions would you try? Thinking about a past can negatively impact one's thoughts. Thoughts of sadness, guilt, regret, and embarrassment produce feelings that keep one stuck in the past. Thoughts of fear and doubt can define our lives if we allow them to steal our dreams. Overthinking and repeatedly dwelling a situation can cause mental confusion and exhaustion. Engage the client in moving forward and trying new things. The coach can encourage you, the client, to practice a positive outlook on life. You need to challenge yourself to get comfortable with fear and then move through it with tenacity and boldness and courage. You need to help yourself focus on your strengths and your abilities. You need to understand that the belief in yourself is only fueled by giving them successes to work with. Have yourself rehearse what you do well and reflect on the positive emotions that the successes bring you. You know, you need to be aware of the presence that is a source of joy. You need to be encouraging to yourself and not worry about doubts or fears. It doesn't mean that you deny the fear, but feeling the emotion and examining it and then letting it go is what you're striving to accomplish. That releases the tension and gives you some peace. But if you focus on the present moment and engage and be interested, fear is confronted face on and it grows smaller and it's replaced by peace and aliveness. I want you to do some things for me. I want you to list your fears, all that they are. And then I want you to, under that list of fears, I want you to list your strengths, all of the strengths that you think you have. If you're a good cook, cooking is a strength. If you're a good cleaning person, cleaning is a strength. If you're a good seamstress, sewing is a strength. If you iron shirts well, ironing is a strength. Everything that you do positively is a strength, and everything that you are challenged with is a fear. And it may be as simple as fear of being criticized. It may be as simple as I'm not as good as that other person. Fear, you know, fear is what you make it and allow it to be. But at the end of the day, I want you to look at the list side by side and compare the list. I will tell you that in 90% of the people that I have dealt with this with, their strengths always outweighed their weaknesses. Their courage always outperformed their fear. Because we do things as we grow up in life that force us into positions of courage. And when you accomplish that, it becomes a courageous thing and then becomes a strength. When I was in eighth grade, I was in the school choir, and they had this guest soloist come in who was on Broadway, had previously been on Broadway, was a fantastic singer. And then he decided that the best thing that he could do was bring four singers to the table and let them sing, and then he would critique them. And so our music teacher decided that he would choose those four singers, and one of them was me. Now, I didn't think I was that good. I frankly thought that I got by because my voice had changed early and I was a bass. And there were very few basses in the eighth grade. But I did extraordinarily well. In fact, he had me sing twice and he sang with me Old Man River. Now, it was a lot lower than I was used to singing, but and he complimented me and he said, I hope you do something with your voice. I never did, but I never feared singing after that either. And it became a strength in mine. And for 4 years in high school, you know, I participated in the choir and the glee clubs and the musicals that we did. And they all helped us, helped me. But, you know, had I not been put into a situation where it was imperative that I perform or be laughed at by my peers, I performed. And that's called courage. And that's what you do when you are courageous. You do perform. And I want you to look at all those things that are lists of yours and find out where you performed. Remember back to what you felt. And you might list more after that, because that's kind of what happens generally. It makes you recall other things. I will leave you with this one thought. The biggest challenge in my life was when I was 17 years old. Actually, yeah, 17. My brother had just died. My parents couldn't go into his bedroom. And so my mother, at breakfast one morning, said, I need for you to pack up your brother's things and take them out to the house and put them in the back of the car so I can deliver them to the Salvation Army. And I said, why me? And she looked at me and she said, I can't do it. And your father won't do it. So I went in there and stood in the middle of my brother's room, which had not been touched since the day he went to the hospital. His clothes were on the floor. Toys were on the floor. And after about 2 minutes of being unable to move, little by little, I began to pick things up and put them in boxes. Marked the boxes, what they were, clothes, toys. Set aside the soccer stuff that he had won, and set aside the picture of him repairing the bike. Carried stuff downstairs and put it away. And I don't believe that I ever experienced in my life a more difficult moment than that moment. Yeah, I went through some tough times, but nothing like that. Probably because of my age, lack of maturity, lack of experience, all those things came about. But at the end of the day, we were able to overcome. And that's courage. And now, as I leave you, I say you can demonstrate the same thing. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow. This is Ed Robinson. Good afternoon.